Oh, yeah, baby, you're like a firework here on this 4th of July weekend upcoming. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can always tweet at me, at Sal Sports. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Hey, folks, I am a huge Goo Goo Dolls fan, as you probably know. And you can keep tuning in through the rest of today for your chance to win two tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center on Saturday, August 9th. This August 9th, 2025, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Matt Bove joins me right now. He stands right next to me at Lecom Harbor Center watching the Sabres 3-on-3 scrimmage at development camp. And that is the day, by the way. The Goo Goo Dolls coming the day the Bills open their preseason at home against the Giants.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. That's a busy day. Are you going to do the double dip?
Oh, I'm doing it.
I love that for you. I love that. I don't think I got that in me. I'm too old.
Oh, give me a break. Come on. It's the Bills and Giants at Highmark, and then Goo Goo Dolls that night at KeyBank Center, which would be a very good time. How itching are you for training camp? Are you right now saying, no, I'm still not ready yet. Don't do this to me.
No, I look forward to it. I think I really enjoy the first couple days of training camp, and then by the middle of the second week, I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this to be done. I'm ready to get back to Buffalo. But at the beginning, it's almost like the first day of school. That's what it feels like. And the first week of it feels like the first couple days of school. You're excited. You get to see everybody again. You get back in the swing of things, and then you realize it's 90 degrees. You're sweating, and you're watching the defensive line just maul each other.
And Matt and I, we do our podcast, It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We'll be bringing you plenty of content from training camp. And just be on the lookout. We got something in the works again. We'll be taking it on location while we're out in Rochester this year. We've done it the last couple of years. We're going to be doing that again for you again this year. All right, Sabres 3-on-3 development camp, prospect camp. When you watch this, you know, what do you think of as far as some of these guys coming up through the organization, where this team stands right now? You're watching number 57 out here, Radim Mertka, their top draft pick. When you watch these guys, do you just, hey, this is a little bit of fun, or do you actually look and say, you know what, maybe this guy can develop into something in a few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to not immediately flash to Tyler Myers with a tall, lanky defenseman skating around who's also wearing number 57. Admittedly, haven't noticed him a ton in this 3-on-3 tournament. This isn't necessarily his game. So I have been impressed by a couple of the guys here. I mean, this guy right here has been all over the ice, number 37, but it's kind of just a fast thing. I've really liked Gavin McCarthy's game so far today, Buffalo kid, and you immediately notice him because of the Buffalo connection, but I think he has had a strong day. And Brody Ziemer, another player who I've been impressed with. His shot is just really impressive. So those are probably the guys that have stood out at least so far halfway through this thing.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple of guys that have been here before. Scott Ratzlaff is actually somebody who's been here before, taking a look. And then I think there was someone else. Wasn't Patrick Geary here already before as well? I think because he was part of the organization last year.
Yeah, he's like Nate's cousin.
He's Nate's cousin.
Yeah, he's another Buffalo native. So there's a couple guys here on this or in this organization that are Western New York natives. It's Geary, and then it's McCarthy. Geary and McCarthy, I think, both had their first development camp last year. And I think strong showings from both of them, but especially McCarthy.
All right, so I had a really good debate slash discussion online yesterday with some Sabres fans, pushing back on my position on what the Sabres should be thinking of or doing with the Bo Byram situation. We heard Kevin Adams say, we will match any offer sheet. And I think that is the right approach to take for this reason. I don't think the Sabres need any futures. Another first round, first and third. Who cares? To me, it's either you trade Bo Byram or you match an offer sheet. And I think that's Kevin Adams' approach, which I agree with. The pushback I get is, but Sal, their pipeline isn't as good anymore. So as much as you've had all these picks and prospects in the past, you don't anymore. And on top of that, the team really doesn't have, even with Bo Byram, maybe isn't going to move the needle to get any better. Where do you stand?
Here's the thing, though. I don't disagree with you, but there's a little caveat here. You can use futures to help your team now. You should be taking back the best, in my opinion, you should be taking back the best package you get. And then it is your job as a front office to turn that into what you need. So if the far and away best offer for Bo Byram involves futures, then it is Kevin Adams' job to take that offer and then turn that into something that could help them. I feel like they're pigeonholing themselves too much, and because of that, they might not be getting back as strong of an offer as they could, and maybe we saw that in the Paterka trade. I like Kesselring. I like Doan. But What if they were able to get futures and then trade some of those futures for players like that and then still have a little bit left over? So, yes, it's all about improving your team right now. I do agree, though. The prospect pool isn't nearly as impressive as it was a couple years ago because guys like Kulik, guys like Benson, they're not prospects anymore. Like, they've been in the league for a while now. After that, there's kind of some questions as far as, like, top-end high-skilled forwards in the pool. There's not a ton of that there, but I wholeheartedly agree. You really shouldn't be thinking about that. You need to get this team as good as possible, as soon as possible, and they have not done nearly enough.
What do you think about Bo Byram still being on this team? He's not a bad hockey player. It might come down to the value, obviously, but how different are they with or without him on the team?
Right now, they're a better team with him on. They're a better team with him there, but I don't know how they're going to improve the team otherwise unless they move him. I feel like Kevin tipped his hand a little bit yesterday with a question I asked in saying that it sounds like they're trying to get back maybe a defenseman and maybe a forward, because then that brings you to the question, if they trade Bo Byram, who the heck do they play with Rasmus Dahlin? I don't know who that's going to be, because I'm assuming it's going to be Power and Kesselring, and this team can't just go back to, well, we'll stick Samuelson up with Dahlin and we'll see how it works. They've tried that way too many times. You can't do it again. So right now, they're a better team with Byram, but if they move him, they should theoretically be getting back a forward who can help you and probably a defenseman who can slot in as maybe like a second pair guy, and then you have things that you can work with. So I don't think they're going to keep him, and I also don't think they should keep him. I think they need to move on.
When you say he tipped his hand, is that because he kind of alluded to that they want both a forward and a defenseman back?
I asked hypothetically, if you trade Bo Byram, what would you do to your defense? Because there's questions there, and he essentially said, well, we're talking about hypotheticals here, but it would depend on the return, because maybe we would be trying to get back a forward and a defenseman or something, almost like they did with the J.J. Paterka trade, where they got back a forward and a defenseman. So it's kind of clear to me, like, they are trying to get back legitimate NHL players. You just worry, if that's the only offers you're listening to, are you overlooking some other things that are potentially better for you or that could turn into something better for you? Like, you can use futures for other stuff. Like, if they want to get a real forward, maybe you just got to sweeten the pot on a Brian Rust deal to the Penguins, and you got to give them a few more futures than you were comfortable doing before. But if that's what it takes to get it over the line, then maybe that's what you have to do. Like, these are all assets. These are all poker chips. It's just how you use them to try and improve this roster right now.
I guess the thing that I don't like when I hear the pushback on what I'm saying is from people, fans saying, but Sal, they need more first-round picks because they're going to be bad anyway and it's more lottery tickets. I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm sorry.
Here's the one that I think too, and I actually was listening to Jeremy and Joe talk about it on the way into work this morning. Calgary has been a team that has been, you know, kind of lingering around with this Bo and Byram trade. And one of the players on their team, Rasmus Anderson, is another defenseman who seems like he's going to get moved. Now, it's been reported that he does not intend to sign an extension with, like, literally any team that he gets moved to unless it was the Vegas Golden Knights. If you're the Sabres, I'm taking on that risk. I don't care. If you only have him for 1 year, this is what you can do. If you make the playoffs, maybe he sticks around. If you're definitely not in contention, then you try and move him at the deadline for another future to a team that is in contention. So, like, I think you need to be open to everything to try and get this team as competitive as possible in the foreseeable future. Because look at the division. Florida is still Florida. Tampa is still very good. Toronto probably won't be as good, but they're still going to be good. I think Montreal has drastically improved. I think Ottawa is better than you, but not like you can't pass them. And we're not even talking about Boston, right? Like, Boston is probably, they get the benefit of the doubt more than the Sabres do just for existing. So and Detroit was better than the Sabres last year too. I mean, they were the worst team in the division. Like, they have a lot of teams they need to leapfrog, and they have not done, in my opinion, nearly enough yet to get to a point where they are definitely in consideration to be a playoff team. I think back to Jason Zucker at the end of a season press conference. This started circulating a little on social media yesterday. He said hope is an expletive strategy, right? That's what a coach has told him. You can't just hope things are going to get better. Right now it feels like the Sabres are hoping things will get better without, like, truly changing this roster.
By the way, everything you just said about if they were to trade for a guy like Anderson in that situation, that's what I feel about Alex Tuch. I don't care. You have Alex Tuch. if he says I'm not signing now, I want to see where it goes, fine. Then let it see where it goes, because you can always trade him at the trade deadline, or he says, okay, this is what I've always wanted with the Sabres, and he does resign.
Yeah, I think Tuck will get done. I feel like that's one of those things where both sides are kind of on the same page. I think he's going to get a ton of money. I think when that contract gets announced, some fans will look at it and be like, whoa, Alex Tuck is getting that much money, but with a rising salary cap, with the space the Sabres have, and what he has meant to the organization, I don't think that's a player who you can let leave unless you're getting a huge return for him, and I don't see that happening. So I do think Tuck is going to be somebody who probably ends up getting an extension in the foreseeable future. I keep saying foreseeable future. I don't know why. It's like my crutch word of the day, I guess.
All right, so we always usually talk football because it's always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me, Sal Capaccio here. We are at Lecom Harbor Center. We'll throw a little football at you because you've been doing the Stadium Series, 52 years of pandemonium. Did you see yesterday that the Cleveland Browns are getting a brand new stadium as well?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think of how it looks? Because I said it looks like a convention center with a football field.
It looks sick to me.
Love it?
I think it looks really cool. I mean, it looks very futuristic. I don't know how it'll age. I mean, I'm sure it'll age very, very well. I don't know. I like new. I like different. That's not to say, like, the Bills are building a very traditional football stadium that's just much, much, much nicer than the building they currently have. So I think that that's great. That's awesome. But I like how the renovations and everything look, I like how the designs look in Cleveland. I think it looks pretty sweet.
Listen, I think it looks very, you're right, futuristic and beautiful. It just doesn't look like a football stadium to me. I will say, though, neither did Minnesota, and that is one heck of a looking facility.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of the stadiums around the league that just when you see the renderings, you're like, I don't know how that's going to be. And then when it comes into fruition, you're like, wow, that's gorgeous. That's really, really cool. The question is, though, how do you feel about Cleveland playing indoors? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, right? Part of the culture of their team, right? People felt the same thing about the Bills. You got to build a dome. Some said, no, this is how you play in Buffalo. Speaking of 52 years of pandemonium, you got the series continuing on Monday.
Yeah, next episode coming up on Monday, 7:30 on Channel 7. New episode every Monday from now until July 28th. All of the episodes are available right now on WKBW.com and on our Smart TV app. I think there might be a little Sal Capaccio cameo in the next episode. And that's what I've heard sources. But, yeah, the next episode is a fun one to put together. It was about kind of all of the people who have worked for the team and then a lot of the people who have covered the team from over the years. We've kind of shifted now. This next episode is kind of shifting into the new wave. It was a lot of the beginning, the early years. Now we're kind of getting into the middle part and then eventually the drought and then ultimately the Sean McDermott era. And we've got some other special things up our sleeve.
All right, well, we're going to be getting together at training camp, and again, be on the lookout for Matt Bove and I to be on location at training camp. Thanks for walking over here a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. Matt Bove there, WKBW TV Channel 7. Follow him online on Twitter at Matt_Bove. Back after this timeout from the Lecom Harbor Center. It is the Sabres 3-on-3 scrimmage at their annual development camp here today as we head towards the 4th of July and holiday break here on WGR.